The chariot is widening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Welcome to the Handicapping, the Saturday Stakes podcast with professional horse player Steve Duckhorn. I am your host, Dave Ginsberg. Welcome again to Steve Duckhorn, our handicapper. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Boy, you had an incredible week last week. Why don't you give the fans here a recap of everything that happened? Boy, I was very impressed.
That was a great week last week, Dave. As you know, we got started with our first beta podcast in picking stakes races on Saturdays last week, and we had three top selection winners. One of those selections paid $6.20 and actually was the horse that beat Songbird, as I had predicted would likely happen. We also had a $13 winner and $11.40 winner as top selections. We also had three second selection winners, and we had one third selection winner that paid $16. So overall, just of the
incredible, incredible. Yeah. What a week
of the eight races I handicapped last week. We had seven winners out in our top three selections, and really, Dave, the only race that I really didn't produce on was the Travers, which I know I was really off base on that one. I really for whatever reason, Johnny Velasquez decided not to rush Always Dreaming out as hard as he could, and Mike Smith took advantage of what was what I thought was a speed bias track and got West Coast on the front end, and he never looked back. So anyways, we did have a great Saturday last Saturday, and we picked some nice price horses that came through for us, and had anyone who was listening to the podcast invested $2 to win on our top three picks in every race, they would have netted a profit of $12.30 and 25% ROI on their investment. So not a bad Saturday.
Not a bad at all. But this week we got some more great stakes races coming up, and I know you've picked some great choices here, and we'd like to hear about what you got for this week.
Okay, so Dave, we're going to look at six races for Saturday, the 2nd of September. We're going to go to Saratoga, and we're going to handicap the 9th, the Saranac, Grade 3, the 10th, the Spinaway, which is a Grade 1, the 11th race, which is the Woodward, which is a Grade 1, and the 12th race, which is the Glens Falls. Then we're going to go on and move on to Del Mar, and we're going to handicap the 7th at Del Mar, which is the Debutante, which is a Grade 1, and the 9th race at Del Mar, which is the JC Maybe, which is a Grade 2.
Great.
So without further ado, Dave, I think I will just get started.
Jump right in.
Let's go to the 9th race at Saratoga on Saturday, which is a mile and an eighth on the turf. It's the Saranac Grade 3. And my selection in this race is going to be the 3-horse. The 3-horse's Master Plan, Todd Pletcher, Javier Castellano. As I mentioned in the podcast last week, I like when trainers go to Javier for the first time. And as you can see in the past performances for Master Plan, Tyler Gaffleone was on this horse the last time at Delaware, and is now and Todd is now going back to Javier. He is 20% using Javier on the turf in 2017, but even more impressively, he's 56% using Javier in great stakes on the turf in 2017. So for me, those are some pretty solid stats. You know, anytime you can get a trainer jockey combination that, you know, is 56%, 5-for-9 in any category, I'm going to take a look. I think this horse is has won two of its four starts on the turf, and has a second and three starts. It's coming off a little bit of a layoff. Does show that bullet workout on the 25th of August at Belmont, and as you can see, they paid a lot of money for this horse. This horse was an $850,000 buy, And this looks like the kind of horse that could and probably will win this race. My second selection in this race is the 5 horse, Voodoo Song. Voodoo Song is ridden by by Jose Lascano. Lascano has won the last 3 times with this horse. Linda Rice is the trainer. Obviously, she's done a nice job with this horse. She acquired this the training responsibilities from Michael Hushin 3 starts ago and has rattled off 3 wins in a row. This horse is loaded with early speed. Linda Rice is 26% when a horse has won the last time and then has moved into graded stakes. She's 26% with using Lascano on the turf. She's 33% just in the past year using Lascano on the turf. So she's 5 out of 15 using Lascano. There's a very good chance this horse will get out there and try to wire the field and probably has a pretty big shot at winning this race. Though I still like my top selection, the 3. My third selection in this race is the 2, and that's Yoshida, Bill Mott horse. This horse has been a beaten favorite the last 2. And actually, when I first started looking at the past performances, Dave, this was the horse that I thought I was going to go with. I remember the last race that Yoshida raced in. I thought he had some a troubled trip. I wound up looking at the video last evening of that race and realized that that the trip really wasn't that bad, and this horse had every opportunity to win that last race and just didn't seem to have the aggressiveness needed to get his head in front and win the race. And so I kind of pulled back. I really didn't like the burst that this horse showed in the stretch. It looked like just kind of a grinding effort. I do respect Bill Mott and certainly yep. respect Irie Ortiz as a jockey, but Mott is only 14% in his racing horse's 3rd off the layoff on the turf. He's surprisingly, he's 0-for-11 using Irod on the turf in the last 5 years. Yeah, so that was another stat that kind of made me shy away from this horse. I do respect the talent and the class of this horse, and so I have put him in as my 3rd selection. So in the 9th race at Saratoga, my selections are the 3, the 5, and the 2.
Now, Brick and Mortar, that's obviously a big-time favorite in this race. What made you not, I know, other than you can't make any money on that horse, probably. You know, you got Chad Brown and Rosario. What made you shy off that one?
Yeah, again, as I told you, Dave, I reviewed and watched the video of this race. This horse got the absolute golden trip. As you can see in the racing form notes, he was rated inside and he just came off the rail. I mean, he had the suck along trip. This race looked better on paper than it was in reality. And that's why I decided not to include this horse in my top selection. Sure, you got Chad and you've got Rosario, and that's yep. a good combination. And Chad's a hard guy to beat at Saratoga. Mm-hmm. But I thought if there was a race that he could be beat, this would be the kind of race. Again, it pays to watch the video of some of these races. And yeah. And when I watched the video of this race, I just said this horse is going to get overbet on Saturday. For sure. But I mean, this was just an absolutely golden trip. This horse sat inside, came out, swung out in the stretch, sucked along almost the entire race. And then got to the lead and won. And it wasn't that impressive of a win to me. So that's why I decided not to include Bricks and Mortar in my selections.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we're moving on to the 10th race.
So in the 10th race, is 7 furlongs. It's the Spinaway. It's grade 1. And my selection in this race is going to be the 5 horse. The 5 horse is Maya Malibu. You might be seeing a trend here. I think I got Javier Castellano and a couple of horses here as that I have selected on this card at Saratoga. Grand Motion's the trainer. Got some interesting numbers on Grand Motion. Grand Motion, after his horse has won a maiden race and has moved him into graded stakes, is 23%. And on dirt, he's 3 of 8. So that's 38% when his horse has won a maiden race and then moving into graded stakes. He gets the nice jockey change from Lynch to Castellano, which I told you that I have previously liked. And this horse draws I would consider to be the beneficial post of being moved to the outside in a 7-furlong race, which to me is always an advantage. My second selection in the race is the 4-horse. The 4-horse is Pletcher and Velasquez. As you can see, this horse has strung 3 wins in a row. Obviously has, you know, has speed. He's probably going to get out there. Johnny's going to be trying to gun for the lead. This horse is, you know, Todd Pletcher is 28% after his horse has won his last race, and he's going dirt sprints to graded stakes. So 28%. He's 24% only with Johnny V, though. So actually his training percentage moves down a few notches when he uses Johnny Velasquez in these scenarios, which is, again, kind of surprising since Johnny is his go-to jockey. You know, they've won a lot of money together. So that kind of opened my eyes up a little bit. And so I've made this 4-horse my second selection. My third selection is going to be the 1-horse Separation of Powers. This horse is trained by Chad Brown. Jose Ortiz is the jockey. Chad Brown is 26% when his horse won the last time out and then moving into dirt sprints and graded stakes. He's 4-for-5 using Jose Ortiz in that same category. But three of those four wins has come with 1 horse, that Paula Silver Line. If you remember, that horse raced last weekend in one of the big stakes races. So, you know, I think those percentages are skewed by the fact that he's just, you know, he's used Jose in a horse that has won 3 races in a row. And so also he's 2 out of 5 with Jose going with maiden winners to graded stakes and dirt sprints. So again, you know, reasonable stats for Chad Brown as a trainer. Obviously, this is a nice horse. I do like the fact that he did race that eighth of a mile in 11.89. I always look for anything that's sub 12 seconds for an eighth of a mile. I like when horses are able to do that. So, but I've made this horse my third selection. So my picks in the 10th race at Saratoga are the 5, the 4, and the 1. And we should get a little bit of a price on the 5.
Nice. And this is obviously a short field. It's only 5 horses. I also see Jose Ortiz took the 1 over the 3, the Lady Ivanka. I don't know if there's any big difference with that or not, but.
I think that matters. Dave, actually, it's Jose Ortiz on the 1.
Jose Ortiz.
Irod rides pretty frequently for Rudy Rodriguez, and so it would have surprised me if they would have made that change. But no, he's racing. Right. He's riding the 3 right back. So and that makes sense.
Let's go off to the 11th race.
Okay, the 11th race is the Woodward, well-known stakes race at Saratoga. Next to the Travers, probably the most well-known and famous race at Saratoga, usually always the closing weekend of Saratoga. Grade 1, mile and an eighth, usually has, you know, some of the top stakes caliber horses in the country racing in it. And very similar to last week, Dave, I'm going to try to beat the big favorite. So my selection in the race is going to be the 1, Neolithic. As I started to look at the race and started to look at horses that could beat Gunrunner, this was the horse that I came up with. This horse has got some speed. It's very likely that Neolithic will either be on the lead or be sitting second behind Gunrunner. if you look at the notes in the Daily Racing Form, it shows that this horse was seven wide last time in his last race at seven furlongs and still got up to win as the favorite. That just seems that sprint race at seven furlongs just seems like it was a tune up for this Woodward. You can see that the buyer speed ratings for this horse, 106, 102, 100, the last three races this horse raced last year in the States. So clearly he can produce a competitive speed figure. In the race at Gulfstream in the Pegasus, ran third to Arrogate. So when he did produce that 106 speed rating. And so I'm going to try to beat Gunrunner with the one. Todd Pletcher is 28%, second off the layoff in dirt sprints, where he moves from a dirt sprint to a route in great stakes. So that percentage is a little bit better than his normal win percentage. It's got the combination of Jose and Todd as the trainer jockey combination. And I think this is the kind of horse that might be able to take Gunrunner in the lane. My second selection is Gunrunner, the two. One of the notes that I did make on this race was that it looks like Gunrunner races best when he's coming off a break or a layoff. Though the last, four buyer speed figures, 111, 110, 110, 112 are all, outstanding buyer speed figures. It's interesting to note that the 112 that Gunrunner produced in the Whitney at Saratoga is his highest lifetime buyer speed figure. Horses that produce their top buyer lifetime have a tendency to bounce off that effort. And it wouldn't take a whole lot of bounce by Gunrunner to give Neolithic a chance to win the race. I think Gunrunner is a nice horse, probably the best handicap horse, probably maybe next to Arrogate in the world. But I try to beat horses like this. And, sure. And so, I'm going to take a shot and try to beat Gunrunner with the one, and hopefully we'll have the same kind of success we had last week when we, made a selection to beat Songbird.
Boy, lifetime almost $5.5 million. Just Gunrunner is just an amazing horse.
Yeah, what an amazing horse. But take a look at Neolithic. Neolithic's made $2.1 million, right. And that's only off of three wins. So this looks like the kind of horse that might be coming into his own. Yeah. And certainly has been right there. I mean, take a look at the Dubai World Cup,
right.
and in the United Arab Emirates, Arrogate won the race. Gunrunner ran second, and Neolithic ran third. So again, I think this horse can compete on his best day. I'm not sure he's as good as Gunrunner, but I'm not so sure Gunrunner will produce his best day in the Woodward. And if he does, he's going to win the race. But if he doesn't, I would like to have the horse that's going to sit right behind him suck along a little bit and maybe try to get him in the lane.
And Neolithic's the first time Jose Ortiz, so that isn't a bad thing either.
No. And Todd, people think of Todd and Johnny Velasquez as a great combination. Todd does really well when he engages Jose Ortiz, and Jose is the leading jockey out at Saratoga. So, he loves that track and knows that track. And so I think this horse has got a shot, and I think he's probably worth what we were going to get in a price. My third selection in the race is the three. And that is Pletcher and Velasquez, second off a layoff, did produce a 110 buyer speed figure the last time out. Looks like it was a suck-along trip on a slow pace, but did win drawing off. This horse might be coming into his own. It's hard for me to believe this horse would produce a buyer similar to the 110 that he produced in the Aladar. But I had to pick a horse for third here, and I think this is the most logical horse to run third. My feeling is that this is 1-2 in my mind.
Sure. Again, another short field, only five horses.
Yeah. So that's the second one we've had like that, which makes it difficult. And and makes it, you know, it's hard to find some price plays and some opportunities to make money. But I hopefully I've given you at least some things to consider and think about. And I'm going to definitely try the one.
Okay.
As we move on to the 12th race, the 12th race is at 1 3/8 on the inner turf. It's the Glen Falls. It's a grade three. And my selection in this race is going to be the 7-horse Sarandia. Sarandia last raced in the Beverly D at Arlington Park. Did not break well. Looks like she closed nicely, though. She only lost the race by 2.5 lengths to DeCita, who was the winner and a selection by myself a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I like horses that come from Europe and are in their second race, having come from Europe in the States. Usually it takes them a race to get acclimated to be into racing in North America. Generally, they will produce a much better race the second time. And this horse fits that criteria. If you look at the Tomlinson turf figure for this horse, it's 390, which is just, you know, it tells me that this horse has got the breeding both on the dam and the sire side to be a real superior turf runner. Also, when I look back on some of the past performances, I can see that this horse has raced in some group ones and two group ones and a group two in Europe, which is the equivalent of what our grade ones are like here in the States. So I like Junior Alvarado. I think he's a good turf jockey. I don't there isn't a whole lot of stats or information on this trainer, who I honestly have never heard of, and clearly he he's only raced twice here in 2017. So but I do like the horse and I do like the scenario, and so I'm making Sarandia my selection in the 12th race.
Brisnett did say that trainer is 100% trainer, and it is of course the shipper, so I don't know if that made a difference in the handicapping.
It did. That's something that was not available when I was running the DRF stats, but that just to me enhances and improves this horse's chances. Again, I'm not so much playing this horse off the trainer, but I am playing it off the fact that I like horses that have raced in Europe and have come here and raced one time in the States. That second time, I think they improve a lot. This horse did produce a 98 buyer in that race in the Beverly D at Arlington. And so I think there's going to be a much improved effort here. Also last week, if you remember, Dave, I said that if you take that time form rating and you subtract 14 points from the time form rating, you generally get what the equivalent of what a buyer speed figure would be for those horses that race in Europe. And if you look at that 116 on July 17th, that adjusted buyer figure then turns into a 102, which makes it incredibly competitive with anything that is racing in this race. So there's just a lot of things pointing to this horse for me. So my selection is the 7.
Okay.
My second selection in the race is the 6, and I had a real difficult time deciding between the 7 and 6. I eventually went with the 7. Some really good trainer stats for the 6 horse. When Mike Pipey wins his last race and then he races his horse in graded stakes, he's 5 for 17, which is 29%. And when he does it on the turf, he's 4 for 9. Which is 44%. So this horse, won his last race, won it at Saratoga. He did have some traffic trouble. I did take a look at the video of this race last night as well. This traffic trouble wasn't as bad as the racing form makes it sound. Had I seen what I would have considered to be a really bad trip, and then this horse figuring out a way with Javier Castellano to win, I might have given it a little bit more emphasis. And it was probably the deciding factor in me selecting the 7 in this race instead of the six. But I think the six has got a really good shot here. So so the six is going to be my second selection. My third selection is going to be the four horse, War Flag. Chug McGahee is 18% using Jose Ortiz. So, you know, a nice winning percentage, certainly better than Chug's, just, you know, everyday standard winning percentages. He's, you know, Chug is 10% here at Saratoga and is 14% overall in, this year in 2017. I like the Bullet Workout at Saratoga, on the turf, on the training track turf on the 14th of August. It is, you know, as you can see, you know, I think Nick Juarez is a nice, good young jockey, but he's not Jose Ortiz. And yeah. So you've got this horse third off the layoff. He's moving from Juarez to Jose Ortiz. Take a look. This horse has raced five times on the turf. They won three of them, ran second the other two times. Yep. Another horse that's raced in Europe, only this one is third off a layoff. But, you know, these horses can start, you know, keep making races in North America. My contention is that they keep getting better and better. So it wouldn't surprise me for this horse to be there. Chug hasn't had that great of a meet, though. Chug's only won 10% of his races at Saratoga. He usually does much better there. But I also love the breeding. I love War Fronts on the turf. And so I'm making this horse my third selection. So in the 12th race at Saratoga, my selections are the 7, the 6, and the 4.
And that wraps up Saratoga. It's sad. We have the last weekend in Saratoga, then the meet closes down for the season.
Yep.
But we're going to move on and talk about Del Mar.
Yep. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up my past performances here on my iPad for Del Mar. And what we're going to do is we're going to handicap the 7th race at Del Mar, which is the Del Mar Debutante, grade 1, 7 furlongs. It seems like there's a number of 7 furlong races to handicap both between Saratoga and Del Mar on Saturday. My selection in this race is going to be the 4, who is Gas Station Sushi. Here's what I like about Gas Station Sushi. Favorite last time out, won easily, broke out of the 10 post, Dave. So yep. There were 10 horses in the race, broke out of the 10 post. Got, you know, one of my favorite money jockeys, Corey Nakatani, on him.
I was going to say, yeah. Your favorite.
Yeah. So Nakatani in dirt sprints running for Baltus is 4 out of 16. So he's 25%, which is better than Baltus's everyday winning percentage, a number of percentage points higher. So that tells me that when he has Nakatani in this kind of scenario, it's usually a good or a winning effort. The thing that I like the most, though, is the fact that this horse broke out of such a wide post that day, and Nakatani still had this thing in position and the thing won drawn off. So my selection in this race is going to be the 4. My second selection is going to be the 5. So you got Baffert and Bejarano on the 5, just a smidge. You take a look at Bob. He's, you know, he did his typical Bob Baffert training effort here. You know, his last two training trips were both at 6 furlongs, which is, you know, those are long training efforts. Of course, they were both bullets, one in 111 and 3, the other one in 112 and 3. Bob's, you know, 34% in great stakes. He does well with Bejarano when they hook up together out on the West Coast. Who knows how much this horse had in the tank when he won the last time. But it certainly wouldn't surprise me to see this horse win, which is why I did make him my second selection. Okay. And just as easy as 1, 2, 3, my selections in this race are 4, 5, 6. So the 6 is my, is my third selection. This is Doug O'Neill, Mario Gutierrez. It took this horse 2 races to break, her maiden, but she did win her last race, which is the second race, in a nice effort. As I've mentioned to you before, I like horses that could race that eighth of a mile in less than 12 seconds. And Pieti Bianchi, which is the name of this horse, produced an 11.69 final eighth of a mile in the last race. This race does look like it has a little bit of speed in it. And if they do battle, this will be the horse that will be closing in the lane. So my selections in this race are the 4, the 5, and the 6 in Del Mar 7th. And now the last race that we're going to handicap, Dave, which is the 9th race at Del Mar. And the 9th race is the J.C. Mabey Grade 2. Mile and an eighth on the turf for fillies and mares. Going to go all the way to the outside post for my top selection here. And as I'm sure no surprise to you and
Corey
and to friends of mine, I have selected the 13 horse as my selection. this is Richard Baltus again with Corey. And turf routes with Corey, he's 25%. So they've won 3 out of 12 races together. When they've been paired up in graded stakes and turf routes, this horse gets blinkers on for the first time. Take a look at those 3 races at Santa Anita starting last year on December 31st. Corey's won 3 times with this horse. Baltus got this horse from Roger Atfield and has won 3 of the 5 starts since he's been in Baltus's barn. We got Corey Nakatani, who, you know, is probably one of the best turf jockeys in America, if not in the world. And I know we draw in an outside post here, but that could help us with our price. A number of great workouts on the Del Mar turf. Though this horse hasn't raced at Del Mar, it looks like she does like the Del Mar turf, has won 5 of 14 lifetime starts on the turf. And you can see that Tomlinson turf number of 402, which is I don't know that I've seen too many 400 Tomlinson turf figures. So the breeding is there for this horse to continue moving on as a nice turf horse. My second selection in this race is the 3. And the three horse combines the Sormo brothers. So Keith is a trainer, Kent's the jockey. Kent is another money jockey when it comes to turf racing. He's 22% in turf routes and great stakes when he combines with his brother. You can see that the last 4 efforts were all grade 1 stakes races on the turf. So this being a grade 2, this is a little bit of a drop in class. Clearly, Kent knows this horse, and I'm sure we'll have good instructions from his brother Keith on how to run this horse. This horse is a 4-year-old filly, so I like horses they're just getting started into their 4-year-old campaign. I think I mentioned it last week. I like when they go from being 3 years old to four years old. They usually all horses, whether it be fillies or colts, usually mature. And so I'm expecting a good effort out of the 3 horse, who is my second selection, Decked Out. And my third selection is the 10 horse. And going to go back to the well here with Gary Stevens is the jockey. Baltus is the trainer. This horse is getting blinkers off, having raced a number of races here in a row with blinkers on. This is a trainer change from Mott to Baltus. So this is this trainer, Baltus, is a 26% trainer when he gets horses acquired for the first time. But even more interesting, when he takes blinkers off the horse, he's a 36% trainer, which is kind of interesting to me. You know, we're getting Gary Stevens. This horse raced at Canterbury last time out, probably in a pretty cheap handicap race. I don't know whether this was an outside purchase or whether Mott is just shipping this horse out to the West Coast. Sometimes they just assign a trainer out on the West Coast and name that trainer as the trainer for a particular race, and then it and then this horse could likely wind up back in Mott's barn as soon as this race is over. I don't know if that's what's happened here or not, but I, you know, I think this is worth making this horse my third and final selection. So in Delmer's ninth race, Dave, my picks are the 13, the 3, and the 10. And that pretty much wraps it up for our Saturday stakes races for September 2nd. And hopefully I have given the listeners a number of potential price selections and some horses that they can key in on and make interesting. One of the things I did want to mention was those four races that we handicapped at Saratoga, they are part of the late pick four. So you can play all four of those races and combine some of those numbers I gave you in a pick four at Saratoga. And as I mentioned last week, you know, I've always done really well handicapping horses on the West Coast. So hopefully I've given you some good some horses to consider here at Del Mar.
All right. And then now, like I said, Saratoga's wrapping up through Labor Day, and then they move on to Belmont, right?
Correct.
And correct. Do we look forward to any other races coming up the next week or two? Got some grade ones, grade twos anytime soon?
You know? I'm sure there are. You know, the Kentucky Downs is about to open, you know, which is all turf racing. I saw that they canceled that card for Saturday. Actually, they're going to move opening day to next Wednesday, I think, because of the rain that's moving up from Hurricane Harvey. But and I'm sure Belmont will have some good stakes in their first weekend racing as well. So, but whatever the races are, Dave, whatever the stakes races are next Saturday, you can count on the fact that I'll be looking at those races, watching video, going through trainer stats, and trying to make some wise selections.
Great. I think you had some great picks here. Let's hope you have some good luck this weekend. And again, this is the Handicapping the Saturday Stakes podcast. And I appreciate everything you've given us, Steve. And I'm Dave Ginsburg, and we'll be back with you next week. Good racing.
Thanks, Dave.